All right, it's KUCI 88.9 FM. It's Talking Animals, And I'm Duncan Strauss. That was, hold on, let's, all right. That was the Soft Boys from Next Doorland with Lions and Tigers. And seemed like a fitting opening for, all right, there we go. Get a little music underneath us here. But anyways, again, a fitting opening for a show that's going to be very cat-oriented today. So, again, it's 88.9 FM KUCI, streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. And I'm Duncan Strauss. I'll be with you till 10 a.m. this morning with our program that is devoted to all things animal. And primarily we strive to learn... learn about animals from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. And this is just the fourth installment of Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have terrific guests, including Ralph Helfer, a legendary figure in the animal world and pioneer in the area of affection training. And the second week, we had a fantastic veterinarian, Dr. Mary Sebsta, who addressed the controversial new article in Consumer Reports on vet practices and prices. Last week, we featured Deanna Foff-Martin, who founded two wonderful organizations that collectively rescue cats and dogs, function as sort of a foster care adoption agency, and also helped cover all the various vet, food, and other costs in the process. So great guests, all of them. And this week is certainly no exception. We're very excited that joining us in the studio, actually, today on Talking Animals will be Greg Ginn, a major figure for many years in the punk and independent music scenes as the guitarist and fixture of legendary punk rock band Black Flag, and head of fabled indie record label SST Records. And it turns out that one of his chief passions is helping rescue feral and other homeless cats. In fact, he agreed to a reunion of Black Flag, a pretty major event in the annals of music, under the condition, really, that the shows would be benefit concerts for assorted cat rescue organizations. So that's indeed the case with two Black Flag concerts that will be held at the Hollywood Palladium on September 12th and 13th. And we'll find out more about the concerts and especially about the various cat organizations that will be benefited, I guess, and his interest in these cats and other animals when we're joined momentarily by Greg Ginn. But he's actually already here, so he may we may get to speak to him along the way as we do some of our other weekly features of the show. And again, it's sort of a cat-centric edition of Talking Animals, so as we take our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, we'll step into that. But I want to remind you that the phone number to join us on the show with any of your calls, comments about animal stories, questions already for Greg, although we get into that shortly as well, or anything else that's on your mind that's animal related, it's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important, or some one case at least coming up here, disturbing developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, or international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. Also, if there are ever any stories that you come across that you think should be brought to our attention, of course, you can call those in, but feel free to email us at talkinganimals@aol.com, and same place, we'd love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of guests for the future, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, questions you'd like us to answer or get answered by a vet or other animal experts. So, again, all those things can be directed to talkinganimals@aol.com. So, we do have a Talking Animals website in the works, so over time we'll have that as well, which will have all kinds of cool news and features and volunteer opportunities and links and archives and all kinds of stuff. But meanwhile, let's talk turkey, as it were, on Talking Animals. So just going to move into a couple of recent news stories. I guess starting with a fairly disturbing one. I don't know if you heard about this, Greg. First of all, let's welcome Greg Ginn to Talking Animals on KUCI.
Hi, Duncan. How you doing?
Good. Very good. Let me actually get this up a little higher. Let's see. How's that? Go ahead.
Oh, good.
Now we're talking.
Hey,
all right. Got you loud and clear. Thanks so much
good
for coming
here.
Down, making the drive through the Monday morning post-holiday rush hour traffic, no less, but we're so delighted that you're here. So, and we're going to dive into your specific, you know, the benefit concerts, the music, what's been happening with SST, and the you know, the various homeless cat and rescue organizations that you're involved with shortly. But just going to hit a couple of news items, and this has been sort of a national story, actually, and again, fairly disturbing, so we won't get too far into it necessarily, but in the Salt Lake, Utah, and Denver areas, there have been these string of cat killings. Have you heard anything about this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's pretty awful, because apparently they're sort of... they're basically like eviscerated with like surgical precision and left out on the streets and the sometimes the lawns of the people who own them. And now, as of a few days ago, there have been 39 mutilated cats found in the Denver area. Now it's apparently spread out to Utah. So I don't know. I guess they're obviously trying to investigate this and kick it up a couple of notches, but. I mean, this is just really disturbing, and anyways, I just don't know if any of our listeners have heard about this, have any comments, including, like, what should be done when these people are found, person or people, I guess, what sort of punishment is even, reasonable, given this just awful, awful string of crimes. So, that's still, unfortunately, very much an active case. And then much closer to home and sort of something I'm a little more directly involved with, there was a recent story just in the last couple of days in the Riverside Press Enterprise. I talked about this on the first show, but there is a facility out in Colton called Tiger Rescue, which had been housing, tigers in particular, but a lot of other cats and then other animals. And then it came to the attention of various authorities that both the facility was really not being well tended and the animals were really being neglected and in some cases sort of abused, just at the very least by virtue of poor feeding and overbreeding. And so the guy that ran this place finally was arrested on criminal charges for both the facility, and then they found a bunch of like frozen tiger cubs and carcasses and stuff at this guy's house. I mean, it's just an awful, awful story. I don't mean to have all awful stories today on Talking Animals. We'll get into some very upbeat things, including Greg's projects and key causes. But anyway, so now they've had someone take over running of the facility while this guy is facing those criminal charges. And in fact, it's a guy who runs organization down in Ramona near San Diego. And but basically what's happening is they're just relying on volunteers to help look after the animals and feed them and clean them up. And there's probably 60 or 70 cats of various kinds, mostly tigers, but also couple lions and stuff. And so I went out a while back, and I'm going out again this week, because basically the only way that these animals are being looked after is people volunteering their services. So there happened to be a story in the last couple of days that the guy who had owned that facility is fighting still them moving the animals into better facilities where they could be better looked after and better fed. And so that's coming up in a court case this Wednesday. But again, if you are looking for anything really cool to do in the way of volunteering to help all kinds of animals, because they've got everything there from pigs and goats, a camel, a bunch of dogs, assorted other things. I mean, it's primarily cats, but there's quite an array, and they all need, to be cleaned up and watered and fed and looked after. Email me again at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and I will fill you in on the details of how you could go out and help out, because it's a really cool cause, and they really need help. And these animals, I mean, they're just starting to, I haven't been out there in a little while, but like I said, I'm going out this week, but I understand they're starting to look better and better. They were just emaciated, and they were being fed like maggot infested meat when this guy was running the thing. And finally they're being, given good food and being brought back. So, and on a related note, the organization that the guy who runs temporarily is overseeing that tiger rescue, they have their own organization down in Ramona, and there's a called the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, part of the Fund for Animals. And they're having a golf tournament / fundraiser on August 8th. You can contact us at talkinganimals@AOL.com for details. There's also a number to call for more info, 760-789-9999. And the Fund for Animals is a nonprofit full animal welfare organization located in Ramona, and it's dedicated to caring for ill, injured, abused, and confiscated animals, mammals, and birds. And it's currently home to many wild animals, which cannot be released back to nature, including African lion, pygmy hippopotamus, seven Siberian tigers, numerous bobcats, an Asian leopard cat, a grizzly bear, and two cougars. So this tournament is a fundraiser to facilitate the construction of enclosures for some of these animals. And but you can also, of course, just send a check. And again, the guy that runs that facility has been for the last, I think, 7 weeks overseeing the operation of Tiger Rescue in Colton, California. So anything you can do to help them would be fantastic. And again, I can call the show here, 949-824-5824, to talk about anything. I know one of our listeners who heard me talk about this the first week has contacted them. I think it's going out this week or next, so that's cool. Maybe we'll hear from her how her experience was. But anything you can do to help them, you know, with your time, a donation, whatever, is would be much appreciated and well deserved. So I think, again, if you'd like to call in on any comments on that or anything else, we might skip some of the other things we had in mind on the news, animal news stories. But let's also get ready to speak with Greg. We're going to have a moment or two, just a little bit more music, and we're going to then step into the weekly Talking Animals Comedy Corner, and then after that we're going to find out everything about what Greg's up to and the upcoming concerts and what else is going on. So stay tuned. It's Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI, and we'll be right back with the Comedy Corner. All right, it's Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM. We're here with Greg Ginn, who we're going to hear from shortly, all about cat rescue programs, the benefit concerts Black Flag is doing coming up at the Hollywood Palladium, and other things. But right now we are going to step into our little weekly venture into the Comedy Corner, the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. It's a classic little piece from Steve Martin. Again, it's all sort of cat-oriented content here on Talk Animals this week, in sort of celebration of Greg's efforts. So this is a piece you may or may not remember from years back from Steve Martin, KUCI.
How many people have cats? One, two, three, four. Okay, 10. Now, let me ask you this. Do you trust them? Because I've got to get a pair of cat handcuffs, and I got to get them right away. Just the little ones that go around the little front paws. Or maybe the manacles of four that get all four paws. But what a drag. I found out my cat was embezzling from me. You think you know a cat for 10 years? He pulls something like this. Found out while I was away, he would go out to the mailbox, pick up the checks, take them down to the bank and cash them. Disguised as me. He had the little kitty arrow through the head. And the little kitty bunny ears. And I wouldn't have caught him, but I went outside to his house where he sleeps, and there was about $3,000 worth of cat toys out there. And you can't return them because they have spit all over them. So now I'm stuck with $3,000 worth of cat toys. Oh, sure, they're fun. Got the little rubber mouse, has a bell inside of it. Boy, I hate it when it goes under the sofa. Whoa, give me that, give me that, give me that.
All right, that's Steve Martin with Cat Handcuffs from the Wild and Crazy Guy album from many years ago. And again, the Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals. So last week we played Bill Cosby's piece Dogs, prior to that Woody Allen's classic bit The Moose, while the week before it was a wonderful piece from Ellen DeGeneres called Cat in Heat. So again, if you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature in the Comedy Corner, please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And again, love to hear from you. Any other elements of the show at that same email address. But now, really, I want to welcome Greg Ginn. As I mentioned earlier in the show, his known really primarily, I guess, in a couple ways, more musical oriented than animal oriented up until very recently. But guitarist and mainstay of really the kind of legendary punk rock band Black Flag, and head of SST Records, and alluded to his work on behalf of Feral and Homeless Cats, but we're going to want to hear all about that, and including that there will be two Black Flag sort of reunion benefit concerts at the Hollywood Palladium September 12th and 13th. Want to hear all about all those things. So let's now more officially welcome Greg Ginn to Talking Animals. So how's it going, Greg?
It's good to be here, Duncan.
Good. Thank you again so much for coming and joining us in person. Would have been much easier to just jump on the phone from the comfort of your home or your bed even at this hour. But really appreciate it. So I guess let's just start with, were you kind of always an animal lover growing up? Did you always have animals, or is this something kind of more, more recently that you've come to, or?
Well, when I was a kid, we had animals, cats and dogs. But then through the years playing music and really just moving around a lot, not having a very stable life, I've moved.
The touring musician's life, right?
Yeah. So many times. I never had any animals. I used to collect cat figurines and cat souvenirs because I love cats, but I just was not in any position to have an animal for a long time.
Sure, just too impractical, basically, right?
Yeah. And then 5 or 6 years ago, I kind of got lured into it just by a dog. Actually, we started with a dog, Sugar Bear. He showed up where my wife was teaching school. The kids brought him in. He was wandering in the street. So we took him in. My wife didn't know what to do with him, so we took him. She took him over to SST, and I said, well, we can leave him here for now, and we'll try to find the owner and put ads in the paper, call the pounds and all that. And of course, there wasn't any tag on him. Nobody responded. And so we ended up keeping him. And at first I thought, oh, that's too much responsibility. I can't have a dog. At this point, that sounds ridiculous. But and then we started rescuing these cats. We knew about this cat that was outside. It had a litter of kittens. It had a history where people in the neighborhood knew about it. It had litters previously. And we just decided to take all the kittens in. I think there was 6 of them. And find homes for them, which we did. We found with friends and relatives and, talked, hand-fed the kittens and talked people into taking them. And we were left over with a couple of them ourselves. And then we trapped the mom, who was real wild, Tina. And
oh, is this all like, just to back up for a sec, sorry, Greg, but is this sort of right outside where you live, right in your kind of neighborhood that these cats were located at the time? Or?
Yeah, in Long Beach.
Okay,
Not too far.
But you had just sort of noticed them over time that they were there and just thought, well, they need some help, kind of?
Right, and then there was, they were renovating these apartment buildings. And we knew that the people didn't, and there was a lot of cats around these apartment buildings they were renovating. We knew the people didn't want them, and we were afraid that they might do something to kill them or something.
Like sure. Oh, I see.
Cats. So we started trapping cats there and, taking some of them in, finding homes for them, getting them spayed, neutered, shots. A lot of times outdoors, sometimes people have a romantic notion of a cat hanging out outdoors or that kind of thing. But what we found is that, you know, they're very susceptible to parasites, diseases, of course, getting hit by cars, and the elements of weather. Really, cats should be kept inside at all times. They don't, you know, they're very happy to be inside.
So is the idea that with that in mind, then, that feral cats even, I mean, they live in colonies often, and they're sort of outdoor, you know, by their nature. But so it seems like on one hand, you can kind of address their health and well-being, spay, neuter, make sure they have vaccinations, et cetera. But is the idea of some of the organization you're associated with to, beyond that, make sure that they're no longer living outdoors, or is that...
Both. Yeah. There's really two types of group of cat rescue organizations, primarily. One is the trap and release, trap, neuter, spay, release. And that's something that I'm not too good at. I'm good at the trapping and right. the spaying and neuter and the, but I'm not good at releasing. I've never been able to release one. I've tried, but
I mean, just because you don't feel comfortable sending them back out wild or outdoors again, or?
Right? Personally, yeah. I can't do that, but I'm very support, you know, organizations that do that and what they do. It's, they catch them and they get them fixed and give them the shots, etc. A lot of times outside they have parasites, often ear mites,
yeah,
ringworm, which isn't, it's not actually a worm, but it's a fungus, that, and people can get that too.
It's very contagious, right? Isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you catch a cat outside, make sure, take him to the vet and have him checked out for all those things. Not only make sure he's spayed and neutered, but check for the ear mites and a general health checkup.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're going to integrate him with another cat that you have indoors, you know, get him checked out first so whatever he might have doesn't spread. But then there's also organizations that take cats in and have people involved with foster homes, and then
to try to place them in homes ultimately.
Yeah. And that's really what we do. We started getting into it about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's just so overwhelming how many homeless cats are out there. And they live generally very cruel, painful lives. The ones that we trap, very seldom are they over 2 or 3 years old, because they just don't live long outside.
Oh, really? That's just hard to survive past that point.
We just don't find
really
old ones.
Wow.
They just
too hard
die
to life.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what we got involved with. We find homes for them. We keep a lot of them ourselves.
Now, how many cats would you say you have at any given moment in your own?
Let's see. What,
sounds like it's going to some calculating that needs to be done.
It's,
yeah.
It's quite a few.
Yeah, like a dozen, more than a dozen, or
that's no. No. Everybody should have a dozen.
I see.
We have more than that.
Really? Seriously? Yeah.
Yeah. We have. You should come and visit.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Like, you don't want to say, because there's so many that it's okay.
All right.
Okay. I got you. All right. So.
So you know, we get into the benefit and all that, but the benefit doesn't have anything to do with our own cats. We're not set up as a official nonprofit organization or anything like that. The benefit concerts are for organizations that do similar things, either similar to like what we do, or the trap and release.
Yeah, I think I have at least some. There may be even more than this, and you can certainly jump in and correct me. But I believe among those organizations that are being benefited by the Black Flag concerts again at the Hollywood Palladium on September 12th and 13th, and at the rate they're going, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another date added. I don't know if you guys are even open for that, but it seems like the demand has already been pretty significant.
I think that'll probably be it.
Yeah, okay. All right, but those are the dates, September 12th and 13th. But right now, I believe among the organizations being benefited by those concerts are the Feral Cat Alliance,
uh-huh.
Right? And that's these all, of course, have websites. So that's at www.feralcatalliance.org. Then Kisses for Cats.
Uh-huh.
And that's cats with a K, but otherwise it's www.kissesforcats.org. And the Cat and Dog Rescue Association. And is that... that LA, because some of these are, I guess, different by way of geography as well as what they, what their specific
right.
emphasis is.
They're in LA.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually a little more involved. I mean, you might want to just search for that because that's a pretty tricky website. It's basically www.geocities.com/heartland/estates/6913/catdog.htm. So again, you might want to search for that one, but. Also, Peninsula Cat Rescue and Placement League, which is at www.peninsulapetrescue.com. And finally, at least as far as I know, Kitten Rescue is the other one.
Yes.
And that's www.kittenrescue.org. Now, so these are all largely, obviously, devoted to cat and, in some cases, dog rescue.
Yes.
But some I noticed, like, I'm not sure which now because I was trying to study up a little bit on each of those. But I noticed, like, one, in addition to just the sort of the basic emphasis of trap, neuter, release, spay-neuter, release, one seemed to have particular concern or another emphasis was trying to look after cats that are, like apartment dwellers and or might be either neglected by virtue of that, or let's say that their owners have to move and maybe they move to a place that can't take pets. So is there a sort of a sub... you know, subdivision kind of what these organizations are doing or trying to do from organization to organization? Or?
Well, it's not all trapping the outdoor cats. A lot of the cats, at this point, we get a lot of cats that are abandoned, and sometimes some people dump them on our vet, and then our vet gives us a call and says, oh, what can we do? So that's very common, you know. People, you know, hold cats in varying levels of regard, and some people that just if they move and they happen to move a place that doesn't allow a cat, then they'll just give them away, or you know. And a lot of people don't realize if you bring a cat or a dog to the pound, in most cities there are exceptions. They will be most likely killed. Very few of them end up being adopted. There's way too many. So never...
Just sheer numbers.
Yeah, never... If you any kittens that go to the pounds, they always get killed, right away. Almost all of them if they're under a certain age.
Yeah.
So you don't want to bring them to the pound and think that's okay.
Well, in fact, that brings me to a good question because... I was going to first let me just say that, like, actually almost exactly a year ago, for whatever reason, a feral kitten wandered into our garage, and uh-huh. Of course it was the night before we were about to leave on a trip, and we're trying to figure out what to do. But anyways, long story short, we thought it was a him at first, because it was an orange tabby, which are usually male, but anyway...
Yeah.
Eventually we had to do our own sort of trap, neuter, but what we didn't do either, like I guess like you can, is we didn't release her because it was like the vet said, look, you know, you've done the right thing. She, of course, had fleas and worms and other things, but she got cleaned up, fixed, and she said, but you know, I never really have a relationship with this cat. I mean, it's a wild cat. It's been out and about, whatever, and but we didn't really accept that, so we brought her home, and you know, a year later, she's part of the family and stuff. But just generally, let's say that someone that's listening discovers a feral cat, or just sees maybe someone like you described how you first got into this, you know, maybe there's a pod of cats or just a cat that's sort of wandering around that doesn't seem to belong to someone, may or may not be wild. What what should they do? Like, what are the steps you would recommend? And more to the point, perhaps, what should they not do that's kind of going to be in the best interest of that cat, that hypothetical cat?
Well, if you can possibly take them in, that's the thing to do, or find somebody to take them in.
To the vet, when you say take them in?
Or to your house.
Take them into your own house.
Yeah,
okay.
Initially the vet, but when you say feral cats, those are the cats, it's basically a word for wild cats, that they're not tame, they won't come up and let you pet them. But a lot of times, once they get to know you, once they get over that fear, those are the best cats, the best companions, and they're the most grateful cats.
Mm-hmm. It's not unlike the dog, you know, when you go to a pound and you, you know, adopt a dog, there is some sort of extra level of affection or appreciation, it seems like. Don't you think? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Certainly. And they know. I mean, feral cats that I've gotten to know that were absolutely terrified of people at first, and I've had a lot like that, and then gradually they get to know you, and they're so appreciative. Whereas most people like to adopt cute little kittens, and they feel like they can mold them into the personalities that they would like to, and I got news for them, they can't. They'll develop into the personalities.
They're going to regardless,
yeah,
right?
And,
for sure.
And hopefully they'll turn on. No.
They wouldn't be cats otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, so the really, if you can bring in a wild cat, eventually they'll warm up to you in almost all cases. But in any case, give them a home. You know, just take them into the vet first. If you already have a cat, don't just bring them in with your cats. Get them checked out first, mm-hmm, at the vet. And sometimes cats that don't know each other, they can get a little snippy and hiss around at first. You keep them separate at first. Maybe keep them in different rooms and let them get to know each other underneath the door. A lot of times that works. And eventually they'll get along. We had a lot of cats together. Almost all of them get along. At first there's a little bit of fear that they have, and they can, you know, hiss and swipe at each other a little bit. But they get along together much more than people do.
Just takes time, right? Just like anything else. I mean, you just got to be patient because we brought this one into the house. So we have a particularly sort of territorial cat that wasn't, you know, usually wasn't open to any other animals. So there was some pretty ugly hissing and spitting and whatever for a long time. But eventually, like you say, I mean, they do kind of get over it. You know, they don't have to be best friends, but they at least can coexist, right? So, And do you want to talk a little bit about trapping and humane traps? Because, again, through this process, I learned firsthand, like, you know, how that world works. And, of course, got outfoxed by this cat a few times, which I guess is not uncommon. But again, let's say that somebody does see a cat, or a cat somehow wanders into their yard or house that may not belong to anyone, may be kind of wild. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend from that point forward?
Well, through a lot of the shelters, the city shelters, and also a lot of vets, will loan out traps. Sometimes they'll have a deposit, $50 or something like that. Or you can buy a trap for $60, $75, which is what we do. We have three of them that we use. But you can borrow one someplace, call around, and then you basically a wire, I don't know how to describe it, box, and you put food in there, and then the cat goes in there. If cats have been trapped a lot of times, sometimes they're apprehensive about going in there, and sometimes they won't go in there until they're really hungry. Sometimes it takes a number of days if you're trying to catch a cat. And you just put the food in there. Tuna, you know, fish works well because
of the
smell. Something
smelly,
right?
Yeah, sure.
And then it, you know, the trap closes behind it. They're fairly safe. You know, the real scared cats can sometimes get their noses, faces a little bit injured, just freaking out inside the cage,
bouncing against the
Never had any something real bad happened there. And then you can leave them like that till you're ready to take them to the vet. Now, when the vet spays or neuters, you got to make sure that they don't eat or drink, you know, past about 10 or midnight the night before, so that when they give them the anesthetic in the morning,
they have an empty.
Yeah, so you might want to keep them in the trap, and then take away the, you know, you could give him food and water while he's in the trap, up until late the night before you take him into the vet. Call the vet early, see if they can check him out and possibly have him fixed that day. And if they can't, then you can, you know, obviously give the cat some food and water and make an appointment for the next day.
And what, I mean, are certain vets more, you know, sort of, you know, I guess flexible about costs involved? Like, let's say that, you know, you did what you just described. It's not really your cat. It may become your cat, which is certainly what sounds like what you would recommend. But, I mean, can that be kind of pricey? Or when a situation like that, will a vet kind of be a little more flexible on their fees and stuff?
Well, we have a really good vet, Boulevard Animal Hospital in Long Beach. And they're, you know, they do a good job for us. And we bring them so much work, I guess.
Yeah.
We've adopted out, you know, we've brought hundreds of cats in there. But, yeah, find a good vet. Some vets don't like to take feral cats because they're more trouble than just somebody's tame cat.
Sure.
So, find a good vet that wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call around for prices.
Yeah.
Too. The prices do vary.
Quite a bit, it seems like, from what I understand, especially when you get into spay or neuter kinds of costs.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure they get their shots, too. Well, the vet will know what to do.
And they'll do it, assuming that it's not too expensive or that you can work out something, right? Because there should be spay or neuter shots, anything else, make sure they're dewormed or defleed or
maybe
ear mites or whatever it might be.
Yeah. You know, it depends on what it is, but usually I don't know what the going rates are, but
yeah.
For spay or neuter, you know, $20, $40, $50 in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shots, some vets, like our vet, will have special days of the week when they'll have half price shots and stuff
that's
like
cool.
That.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a whole lot of money. And, you know, you can take in quite a few cats. Some people say, well, I already have two cats. And my opinion is that, well, that's all. You know, what? Two
that's,
cats?
That's child's like, play compared to
I mean, that's come on. Get the program there.
Sure. Yeah, we got to be getting those numbers up way higher than that.
And it doesn't, you know, it's no real trouble to take care of, you know, seven or eight, you know, a dozen cats. What the hell?
Yeah,
you know,
or more.
Although
we can't really say how many. Yeah,
a dozen. Right. And, you know, because you have the one, you know, you have your litter box and this and that. If you're going to take care of one cat and feed them, you can feed a bunch at the same time.
So I would assume from what you said earlier that all the cats that you have in your home all are indoor cats and all use a litter box versus coming in and out.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't let a cat. We have a patio area at SST where, you know, cats can go out and that. We have areas built that are outdoors, but they're enclosed.
Oh, okay.
In fact, if you have a yard that can be enclosed, there's things, you know, that you can really do to make it safe. But you got to, you know, cats are escape artists. And you can get, there's this thing called a cat fence. It's not too expensive.
Hmm. And what is it specific to cats, or what does it do, or how does
it
work?
Yeah, it's basically like you use this plastic mesh stuff that's available at Home Depot, Originally, I bought it from, it was on the internet. You could probably search cat fences.
Okay.
But cats don't like to climb on surfaces that are unstable. So if you use this mesh, if they climb up there, it moves and they jump down.
Okay.
So it works on that kind of principle.
I gotcha. Cool.
So, you know, you could do that, but you've got to be very safe and make sure you're thorough with that, because they can escape. The best thing is to generally, unless you really have an enclosed area where they can't escape, is keep them inside. And a lot of people think, oh, well, my cat loves to go outside and roam around. No, they don't. He's used to that, and he has certain territory outside. Bring him inside, and after a few weeks, he'll get over going outside. A lot of cats that I have inside, I mean, they only stay mostly in one or two rooms anyway, even if they have a run of a...
Yeah, there's a lot of sleeping to be done, right?
I mean, yeah, so they just don't need a lot of space to be very happy.
Yeah.
And believe me, they're happy inside, even if there's a lot of them, and you don't have a lot of space. That's much more important than, you know, letting them go outside, and then you have the various parasites. There's some pretty good stuff like that Advantage that you can put on your cats or dogs once a month to get rid of the fleas. It's very safe compared to all the powders and sprays and some of the stuff that's been used in the past.
Sure.
That's a good thing to use. But main thing is, if you keep them inside, there's a lot less trouble, and they're happier in the long run.
Cool. All right. Well, that's really great, and I think we have just a moment or two left, so let's talk a little bit about music. And again, I want to emphasize that the Black Flag Reunion Benefit Concerts are at the Hollywood Palladium on September 12th and 13th, and again, they're benefiting at least five cat rescue organizations, or is that right? Or
yes, and we added another one, Kisses for Cats.
Okay.
Oh no! We had Kisses for Cats.
Yeah.
We Kitten Rescue.
Okay, cool. So
Kitten Rescue organization, and there may be one or two others. We feel hopefully it'll raise a lot of money. I think it'll do well. And
yeah.
You know, Black Flag is a band that broke up in 1986. Many times promoters and other people ask me, why don't you do a reunion show and this and that. And it's just nothing I've had any desire to do. Of course, you know, we could all use money and all that for, you know, to put into our new music and all that. But Black Flag was, you know, all about playing for low ticket prices and practicing real hard, the idea of to throw together
like a one-off
never appealed to me. It just seemed like the wrong thing to do. I was happy when the band, when I decided to end it, I was always happy with that decision.
Yeah.
But then this came up again, and I decided, well, the one thing that would get me to be happy, you know, happy to do this would be if we could do it for cats and cat rescue organizations. And I approached the promoter, Golden Voice, with that. And as it turned out, they were very excited about it. Several people that work with them were very behind the cause and had cats and were excited to work on it. So that was encouraging.
It was kind of a natural fit then in that way, really.
Yeah. Then I called a few of the band. Of course, there's 20 or 25 people in the band.
They passed through there at one point or another. Yeah, for sure. So how many people are going to participate in this? I mean, I
don't know. It's a little far ahead. We've got to see who shows up to rehearsals and stuff. But one person I wanted to contact, because he was a big part of the band when it really became popular, and we started, you know, played a lot of songs with Dez Catena.
Yeah, for sure.
He's living out in New York now, and so he was very into it. And so that kind of encouraged me. And, you know, of course, it's my pet cause. I get excited about cats, but I understand other people have other passions. But it's been very gratifying that people have been willing to, you know, lend their time and stuff. And And I think we'll have several, you know, people from the different Black Flag lineups participating. And
so it might just be kind of an evening where different people kind of rotate in and out for different songs or different segments of the evening or something.
Exactly.
Cool.
I think it'll be real good. We're going to put a lot of effort into doing as many rehearsals as possible and making it something that's real good, and eliminating the greed factor is made it a lot more fun. And it's also been fun to just, you know, I've been doing this cat stuff, you know, for a while, and but it's been gratifying. We're, you know, doing this benefit, then a lot of people that love cats come out of the woodwork.
And, for sure, and it leads to other kind of help, and other people get involved with the organizations, I'm sure, and making donations separate from the benefit, you know, I'm sure.
And, a big thing is these organizations really need volunteers. Sometimes it's to work at the adoptions. A lot of times it's just petting kittens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very valuable thing, is the feral kittens that are wild. If people can really handle them a lot, and then that's you want to get them as young as possible to make them friendly to humans and more adoptable. There's all kinds of things that volunteers can do, and so you know, some of the ads for the show, some of the groups are in there, and if anybody's interested in that, call one of those groups and find one in your area. It doesn't have to be a group that we're doing the benefits for. You can find them by talking to your local vet, or I know down here, I know the Newport Beach Animal Shelter is apparently excellent, the city animal shelter, and they can put people in touch with some of the cat organizations. And
even just searching, I mean, if you just go on the internet and put in feral cats or homeless, you know, those kind of things,
yeah.
I mean, a number of things come up, and you can, you know, see which one's closer or just, you know, maybe particularly appeals to you to get involved with. And,
right.
And again, the ones so far being benefited tonight of the Black Flag reunion concert, Hollywood Palladium, September 12th and 13th, include the Feral Cat Alliance, Kisses for Cats, the Cat and Dog Rescue Association, Peninsula Cat Rescue and Placement League, and Kitten Rescue. So,
oh, the new one is Failsafe for Felines.
Oh, okay.
And their website is the number four, just the numeral four, felines.
Cool.
.com or .org. I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Right. One of those. It's probably .org, but cool.
What we did is we wanted to make it small organizations, because I found that these people are incredibly efficient, and every dollar that they get is used very efficiently.
Yeah.
They're run and staffed by volunteers. And so that's why we decided, instead of one bigger organization, we wanted to get people that are actually doing the groundwork with the cats and volunteer organizations. And so that's why we decided to hook up, you know, a handful of them and spread it between them.
That's very cool. Yeah, everybody kind of gets a little help, a little boost from this. So that's fantastic. Yeah. All right, Greg. Well, I really appreciate you coming in. It's great. Once again, it's Greg Ginn, fronting sort of the Black Flag reunion benefit concerts, Hollywood Palladium, September 12th and 13th. Also playing some local shows. I mean, you've been doing a number of kind of local shows, including just one Saturday, I guess.
Yeah,
Anaheim,
not
yeah.
myself, not Black Flag.
Right. Just, you know, under as Greg
yeah,
Ginn.
And we're doing some with a group I have called Whore. It's kind of a techno-rock hybrid. Yeah, we're doing... That's all the boring rock stuff.
All right. Well, still, just wanted to mention. But speaking of that, because I think a lot of people of different, you know, ages and eras will be, you know, if they didn't know this, or they'd be happy to know that SST Records is sort of kind of back in sort of full swing, or more swing than it had been for a time. Is that?
Had distribution problems. Our distributor went bankrupt and all kinds of stuff, and it took us a while to get back on our feet. But we're finally putting out records again.
Cool.
And we don't have a lot of money for promotion or any of that kind of thing, but it's good to be getting going again and
sure.
with a solid distributor. And
very cool. And that, for anyone interested in pursuing that end of things, it's the website for that is www.sst.com. Superstore, all one word, .com, correct?
That's it.
All right, cool. Greg, thanks so much. If you want to hang around, we're going to move right into Name That Animal Tune, which, again, selected with you and the benefit and your cause kind of in mind. So it's like, you know, it's like any other Name That Tune you would think of or be aware of. It's just a brief snippet of a song, and people can call in and see if they can identify it. We have a bag full of cool prizes that they could choose from, and it's 949-824-5824 if you do recognize it and can identify it. 949-UCI-KUCI. So let's play a little bit of this. We could actually let it go since it doesn't directly give it away in this case with the vocals. So see if this rings a bell. And if you're thinking of Chris Elliott on Letterman doing a banana dance, that's right too, but that won't necessarily get you the correct prize-winning answer. But all right, well, let's let this play. So, anything else, Greg, that we should know or add before we kind of come to the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals?
Well, I think some people think it's people are crazy that like cats and spend a lot of time with cats, but I think
hold that thought.
Too. We love cats.
All right, hold that thought. Let me see if we can get these folks. KUCI.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to name the tune.
Please.
Alley Cat.
Absolutely, of course. It's Alley Cat. What better thing for talking about homeless cats, feral cats, etc. So
right. That
is indeed correct. What is your name?
Julie?
You have a cat, Julie?
Yeah.
How many?
Well, I'll tell you, it's hard to rent an apartment if you have more than two, so I have three.
I'll sneak them in,
Mm-hmm. So, Julie, that's fantastic. I'm glad you called in and you got it correct. And I'll tell you what, if you'd like, if you can at some point now or later email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com,
okay.
We'll get you a prize. But let me just run through some possible prizes. Hold on one sec. Go through our little bag of cool things. We got a great thing from Defenders of Wildlife, a great wolf t-shirt. This is like a cool thing. It's a hummingbird feeder cone thing, which is pretty neat. And we've got a couple different things for cat owners. We got some cat collars. Oh, here's something that your cat will go nuts for, actually. This, you might want to consider this. A Zoom Groom. It's like a plastic thing with kind of a, it's like a brush, but except it's like spikes, like soft plastic spikes. And when you brush them with that, they go bonkers. I don't know if you've seen one of these or have one already, but if not, you might want to consider that. And we've got a couple of collars and, well, there's assorted other t-shirts. Anything that speak to you so far, Julie?
Well, the hummingbird cone sounds good.
Okay, cool. Well, you email me and with like address and how to get in touch with you, and then we'll make arrangements to get this sent to you or mailed to you or whatever makes the most sense.
Great.
And we appreciate you listening to Talking Animals and calling in, and it's exciting to have a winner for a Name That Animal tune.
Yeah, well, I love your show. You guys are great.
Oh, that's so cool.
I learned so much about cats today.
Oh, that's nice. I really appreciate that, and I know I'm so lucky to have Greg come in and talk and fill us in on all kinds of cool details that none of us probably really knew or knew to that extent. So, all right, Julie. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, email me, and we'll get you that hummingbird thing.
Okay, perfect.
All right, thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, I think we've really reached the end here of this edition of Talking Animals. And I want to thank everyone who did listen and Julie for calling in. Want to remind you that all the views expressed on the show by me, guests, callers, others, are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. And again, feel free to email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. Any ideas, guest suggestions, music suggestions, comedy bits, news stories, I want to ask you to stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease coming right up on KUCI. And we are going to close things out once again, something very cat-oriented. It's Squeeze, going back a few years, with Cool for Cats. It's 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, Talking Animals. Thanks again to Greg Ginn. And be sure to get your tickets for the Black Flag Benefit Concerts, Hollywood Palladium, September 12th and 13th. We'll see you next Monday on Talking Animals. Thanks again.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The squaw is with the corporal, she is tied against the tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And David Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The Sweeney's doing 90 because they've got nowhere to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up at Heathrow. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of one swap with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bleeding sane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like as your father and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. To change the mood a little I've been posing down the pub. I'm seeing my reflection, I'm looking slightly rough. I fancy this, I fancy that, I wanna be so flash. I'll give a little muscle and I'll spend a little cash. But all I get is bitter and a nasty little rash. And by the time I'm sober, I've forgotten what I've had. And everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat.